like the coward that you are, like the dirty coward that you are.
But you didn't get
it. I didn't get that chance. No, he died. We were right there. And this, he was.
And of course, it goes larger than one man. It goes to the issue of the police, of the FBI, of this country.
Amy, on that point?
We have 5 seconds. We're going to have to save it for another time. Abdurrahman Mohammed, scholar, historian, journalist, activist, featured in the new documentary series, Who Killed Malcolm X? Shayla Harris, series producer, award-winning filmmaker, and Ilyasa Shabazz, one of the 6 daughters of Malcolm X. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
WHFR is taking the love theme a little further this Valentine's season by showing love for our pets. Tune in all week long to celebrate the four-legged friends that bring us love and joy all year round. And share your pets on our Instagram page. Follow WHFR FM Radio and use the hashtag WHFR Pet Week. And share all the best pictures of your fur babies. Cats, dogs, hamsters, birds, snakes, fish, pet rocks, or turtles. We want to see them all.
Just a reminder that 8-week class registration is still open for Henry Ford College students. The window is closing, but seats are still available for the second half of the semester. If you would like to explore an 8-week class, log on to WebAdvisor or stop by the counseling office.
Find Highway 61, what you gotta do every Friday for the bears in blues. 2 p.m. until 4 p.m. if you would please set your radio on FM 89.3. Detroit Blues and Bears New Blues, Friday 2 p.m. Streaming live at WHFR.FM. Henry Ford College Podcast is where to be. Friday 2 p.m. WHFR.FM 89.3. So now you know where to go and where to be. And join the blues and having some fun making waves with DJ Kitty Love. Find Highway 61, what you gotta do. Every Friday for the Bears in Blues.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. A happy Friday afternoon to you as we start to wrap up Pet Week here at WHFR.
Oh my gosh, it's been a wonderful week. We are going out with an absolute bang, I'll tell you. We are looking forward to having our first live broadcast in many years at a local location that, if you know all things animals, if you love them, you either know or will want to know. Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit, formerly Dearborn Animal Shelter.
And we're also going to talk about some of our favorite animals here on the Henry Ford campus. I'm not talking about the geese.
Well,
I'm talking about the hawks,
our athletic team.
Yeah, I know, especially, well, I don't wear heels when I'm walking around campus, but if you really look out. So
it's a tough walk sometimes, but we are going to talk about our wonderful hawks, but in between, we hope to get a perspective of a lifetime animal volunteer who happens to be the spouse of one of our staff members here at WHFR. So,
I look forward to that.
Yeah, we'll just tease you with that one. We have so many wonderful opportunities to say thank you to our own personal pets as well as family pets.
I was going to say, all right, do you have pets at home right now?
I do.
All right, what are your pets?
I have one, and it is my sweet Mackinaw. Also known as Mac, Mackie, Macaroni, Macaroon, whatever we want to call him. But his name is Mackinaw, and he is a Humane Society hybrid, as we call him.
Yep.
We think he's 9 years old.
Okay.
We are pretty sure from when he was adopted originally that he was what we call a hobo for about 2 years, living on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the estimate that we received. And he is, we think, some form of an Australian Shepherd cattle dog mix of
Very energetic.
So he is sort of black and white and spotty, but he's not a Dalmatian. But people say, is that a Dalmatian? Not at all. But he is the most loving, sweet, adorable, non-human human that I have ever known in my entire life. And, you know, he is the biggest part of our family. We love him to death.
And I'm sure you probably have had others in the past that are equally memorable to you as well.
I'll tell you. In fact, it's a funny story. I have had fish. Yeah. We once, I think years ago, had a rabbit, but my mother, I don't want to say she was anti-animal, but she was anti-having an animal in our home.
Gotcha.
She was more of the OCD, one pet hair, and that was it. So, you know, my Mackinaw, I inherited him. He was my boy by marriage, and I am learning this whole love of pets thing for the first time in my life. Not that I didn't love my little fish, my Mr. Limpet, you know, but this is the coolest thing ever, and I don't know what you don't know what you're missing until you walk that walk. And
I'm not sure I can teach you anything about the marriage, but I can teach you a few things about the pets
because you're a lifer, right? Yeah. You're a lifer with your pets.
Indeed,
yeah.
We've got. I'll just give a shout out. Yeah, we've got Chester who came to us. He'll be going on 14 years old. He's been with us since 2007. He was 18 years old and 18 months old. Sorry, came to us from Ohio where the people who had him before the wife had had a stroke. They were elderly and so his name's Chester and then the dad just couldn't handle it.
Sure.
And then we've got Snoopy who actually is 2 weeks older than him. They're both Shih Tzus. Chester is what I call the Shaquille O'Neal of Shih Tzus because he's massive. He's just very large in stature, about 23 pounds. Snoopy is hard to even describe. Very small head and a very wide bottom. But he's perfect the way he is. And I was glad when we brought him into the house a couple of years ago because actually he snores louder than my wife tells me I do. So, plus we also have our guinea pig Skip.
Oh,
my son decided last year to get a guinea pig and bring him into the dorm, and he didn't realize that when they said you can't have pets in the dorm that they actually meant it. So,
oh boy.
So we've got Skip. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been learning from other staff members with our Twitter feed and so on, and people have been posting our Instagram pictures of their pets, WHFR pets and so on. So this is just a wonderful celebration of all things animals and what they can do to us. So we are so excited to be partnering not only with experts that are pet owners that have been giving us great suggestion and advice over this week, but also with the official experts, and these are our friends from Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit here in Dearborn, a gem in our own community. We are fortunate to have in our studio at this time the development director, Kim Cross from Friends. I'll just call you Friends because you are, of course. But Kim, it is such a pleasure to have you here. We have had Elaine Green when she was had a different name even. That's how long we've had a relationship with Elaine, but so nice to meet you and have you here for the first time.
And when the organization had a different name, too.
Oh, definitely a different name, yes. But boy, as the name expands, so too do the services and the opportunities for knowledge and growth and those love connections, as we like to call them. So tell us about what you do. Tell us about the Friends. What's happening right now?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me here. It's really wonderful to meet you guys.
And let's hear about your pets. So,
oh, okay. So right up
before we get to business, let's talk about the important stuff here. Yeah,
yes.
Right. Let's
so,
do the important
so
stuff.
So I have two dogs. Mm. I have a Cairn Terrier that I rescued off the streets of Flint. Mm. He was probably on the streets for maybe about a year or so. He was in very rough shape, and I actually adopted him from Westie Rescue, and they call the Cairns the poor man's Westie. Mm. He ended up in Westie Rescue because he had no hair because he was on the streets for so long and he had a flea allergy. So, of course, I fell in love with him and I called him Harry.
Aww.
And now he has hair and a really nice home to live in. I also have a Norfolk Terrier. They are the smallest of the working breed. They were actually bred to ride in the saddlebags of fox hunters back in the day. Hmm. And she is a pistol. And we'll just kind of leave it at that.
And what is her name?
Her name is Hannah.
Hannah is a handful.
Yes, she is. And then some.
Oh, very sweet. Yes.
All right, let's get back to the business here.
The rest of the story.
Yes. Yeah, right.
So I've been with Friends for almost a year and a half now, and I work in the development area, raising money for the organization, which is really exciting. They are in a growth period right now. They just completed a $5 million new shelter, which I don't know if you've seen yet or not, but it's beautiful.
And we're not allowed to call it the old train station anymore. It's yours. It's a beautiful facility.
It is beautiful. Yeah. It is. So that opened in 2018. We are raising money for phase two, so we can actually close the Greenfield facility and bring everyone over to the new animal adoption center.
Fantastic. It's so much more than just somebody coming in, walking around, looking at pets, saying that's the one, and then walking out. Although that happens, in, you know, there's a lot more detail than that. But the expansive nature of what Friends does now in terms of education, advocacy, mm-hmm. as well as really allowing people to just learn and celebrate, blows my mind. And you talk about, and I see it on the website as well, this thing called pillars. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the four pillars and what they represent.
Yeah, so our mission is to rescue and protect the animals in the community. But also, part of our mission is to inspire the animal-human bond. And you used a very interesting phrase earlier. You said the most delightful non-human human or something like that, and I've never heard that before. I'm going to start using that. Mm-hmm. But it's true. We really treat our animals as non-human human. I mean, mm-hmm. they're part of our families.
Sure.
So the way we really fulfill our mission is through these pillars. Adopt, donate, volunteer, and learn. So we give people an opportunity to adopt, to learn about animal welfare, how they can improve the lives of animals. Of course, we're always looking for opportunities for people to donate. And volunteer. We have a ton of volunteers, which I'd love to tell you about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Please do. Yeah.
So one of the programs we have right now, which is really exciting, is called Doggy Day Out. So every other Saturday, we have a volunteer lead who gets together, and she will coordinate volunteers to come in and walk our dogs. They take them out for about a 2 to 3 hour field trip. Mm. It's really a lot of fun. They go to Home Depot. They go to Lowe's. They go to Starbucks for puppuccinos. And sometimes they'll just go home and watch a movie and eat popcorn or whatever. So I think I want to go out for doggy day. Someone could come and take me out.
And if it's like my Snoopy, like 20 minutes in, I'd be carrying him. So if someone's going to carry me through the rest of the day.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Last weekend we had 17 dogs out.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is just so much fun. We had cars lined up on Reckinger to come and pick up the dogs.
That's
really great.
No, you mentioned, and I want to key on a word that you had put when you were talking about your particular dog, that it came from a rescue,
mm-hmm.
and what the interaction is between Friends here in Dearborn and other rescue organizations, or if on those days where it's like 50 mile an hour winds and everybody's gate blows open and you find dogs running around on the street, mm-hmm. How you intake animals.
Yeah, so our organization is it's a shelter,
mm-hmm.
and we work with the city of Dearborn with the animal control people. They can bring in animals that they find on the street, strays or owner surrenders. A lot of times animals will come to us. They've been displaced because of a divorce. People are moving, a death in the family. A lot of people sometimes don't make accommodations for their pets. So I would encourage your listeners to create a pet trust, just plans for your pet, who's going to take the pet. Because a lot of times if someone passes away, the medical people come in, there's an animal, the animal will end up at the shelter. And so what we do is we work in the community, also with other organizations. So, for example, the rescue organizations, which are foster-based, which is where I got my Karen, they don't have a shelter. All the animals are being held in various homes. They're being fostered, so it's foster-based, and it's usually run all by volunteers. So sometimes if we get animals in and there is a rescue that we could transfer them to, we will work with that organization to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, and one other note I wanted to mention is that we have been saving all adoptable animals for over 20 years. So you mentioned Elaine Green earlier. Mm-hmm. She has really been on the forefront of this, and which is part of the reason why we are growing so much. For space, because we do hold, we keep animals until we find a home for them, regardless of how long it takes.
Mm. Now, Susan had mentioned earlier four pillars. I don't know how far into the four we got. Oh. I think we sort of like made a little right turn
we
there.
We did. We got through 1.5. A few of them. And one of the ones, the one that really stands out to me, the concept of outreach, the concept of education. I think the word was learn.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yes. Tell us, because you also mentioned something a bit ago, what we can do for animals, what we can do for the pets, but it's what the pets can do for us, too, that I think is pretty valuable.
Yes.
So what can that relationship be like through education to make even stronger?
Mm-hmm. Well, so as we've grown, the next phase of our growth is really education, really helping people learn about how valuable animals are to our well-being. There's been a lot of studies done how they can help reduce blood pressure, all sorts of things, mm-hmm. stress. And so just teaching people about that. They help you get outside, exercise. Loneliness is a huge problem in our community. And so animals kind of replace family sometimes, mm-hmm. and it gives them really a purpose to live sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In the process of connecting with our special pets, you really do have to, I've learned this firsthand, I thought, oh, it's sweet dog, sweet cat, I can figure that out, but it was kind of like a newborn baby, and Mackie wasn't even a newborn, but when mm-hmm. I came in, because he didn't come into my, I came into his life, you know, I interrupted his flow, where, you know, I'm his favorite now, of course, because that's just the way it should be, but that's a given, right? But boy, I didn't know what I didn't know in terms of the process of what animals are capable of, what they need, and how to flourish together.
Well, mm-hmm. and first and foremost, when it comes to adopting an animal, I know there's the having been through this process, and especially coming, you know, from fosters, it's kind of like they want to know, all right, who's going to take care of it when you're, you know, where are they going to be during the day? Who's going to take care mm-hmm. of it when you go on vacation? All these other things that people need to talk about before mm-hmm. you know, or understand before they adopt an animal as
mm-hmm.
well.
Yeah. So part of our adoption process is the majority of our animals come into Friends as lost animals. Mm-hmm. They have no ID, no microchip. It's really amazing. So
it doesn't always mean that they're, and I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, that they're street dogs or cats or, you know, I mean, and whatever type of animal. They
yes.
just may have gotten... They may have ended up there some way or somehow.
Yeah. So, for example, a couple of months ago, we had a basset come in wearing a sweater, and he was probably about maybe 12 years old. They found him on the street.
No chip, no collar.
Nothing. Just walking down the street with a green sweater on.
Oh, my goodness.
And so what happened is someone left the front door open, and he decided to take a stroll.
Adventure.
And he ended up getting a ride in the police car to our shelter. And so eventually we did find the owner, but it was really something.
That's a good story. Yeah. I'm glad to hear.
That's fantastic. Yeah. In the process of kind of going back to the education and outreach component of what Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit can do, if somebody wanted to learn more before they come in to adopt a pet, if they want to learn more because they now have a pet in their life because mm-hmm. they fell in love with the pet's owner or whatever the case mm-hmm. may be, it doesn't have to be all or nothing, right? You can actually maybe even come into schools and have discussions and so on, because we all want to make the most of the relationships that are out there, but also I think have a level of understanding before we make a commitment like that.
Exactly. And we are in the process of creating some online courses through a very nice grant through the Community Foundation for Southeast Michigan on what does it take to be a cat owner, because I grew up with dogs.
I was going to ask you, I'm a dog person, and Susan, welcome to the club. That's fine. But I'm sure you see a lot of different animals that come through the shelters.
Yes. So I have fallen in love with cats. I really have. But I had no idea what it took to, I knew what litter was, but what do you do? Mm-hmm. What's the process? What do you feed them?
They make me sneeze. That's all I need to know. Yeah.
There's actually medication for that, too. So.
She is a cat person, isn't she?
So back to the education piece. The Community Foundation has given us this grant so we can create these educational pieces so people can learn about cats and dogs. And really, it comes down to when people talk about their animals, everything else just falls away. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter your background, anything.
It doesn't matter how nervous you are about being interviewed for the first time on radio. you can start talking when we're talking about pets, right?
Yeah, exactly. So how do we build community around pets? And use that as our focus. I actually live out in Rochester Hills, and we have a dog park out there, and people go out and walk their dogs, and they just come together and from all different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. So interesting you mentioned that, this sense of community, building our community around our pets. We are not in the most cohesive time nationally for a number of reasons, politically included. And I find that one of my icebreakers when somebody's starting to go a little off in a direction I'm not comfortable talking is, so tell me about Fluffy. Mm-hmm. How's Fluffy doing? How have those walks been? And you're right. It's that thing that kind of pulls people together again.
Yes.
And we do get to sort of forget the stressors that that some say are dividing us, mm-hmm. because when we have these sweet, wonderful, little dears to focus on, that does bring us together.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And they really reduce our stress. Whenever I just feel stressed or tired, I love brushing my dogs. I love brushing the cats in my office. It's just so calming. And I love to hold them, and I love to just feel their heartbeat and try to synchronize my heartbeat with theirs. Just try that. It's so amazing. It just reduces your stress completely.
Wow. Kim, you're in the right field, that's for sure.
So, all right, when it comes to community outreach and development, you mentioned the grant from the foundation from Southeast Michigan. Mm-hmm. What are other ways that people can get involved to, again, not, there's lots of ways to save pets and bring pets into your lives, but specifically for the organization, what are ways to get in touch with you in order to be able to support and help out?
So we have a very exciting event. Well, actually, three coming up this year, but one in particular.
You can just go through them all. That's fine.
But one in particular is called Mutt Strut. Mm. It's held at Ford Field Park here in Dearborn, and we get usually about 400 people out there. I think 300 to 400 people, and people will pledge to walk And they come out with their dogs, their kids, and everything else, and it's just a fun day of for people to get together. We raise about $100,000 from that event. Our budget is $1.2 million, so it's about 10% of our budget. We also have our golf event. Oh, I should mention that Mutt Strut is on May 16th.
May 16th. So is that right around Mother's Day, or is I don't have the calendar in front
it's
of me.
It's in that ballpark. Yeah, that's somewhere. For yeah, sure.
Maybe yeah. the week after Mother's
Hopefully
Day.
Hopefully, nice yeah. and warm and beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful
right.
weather. Yeah.
Yes, we hope so. We also have a golf event, and that's on Monday, July 20th, and that's at the Dearborn Country Club. And we also obviously raise money for that. It's called For the Animals, F-O-R-E. It's just a fun day for people to get out and connect and talk about animals and golf. The other event we have in the fall is called Black Tie and Tails. That is held at the Dearborn Inn. There are sponsorship opportunities, ticket sales. We have auction items and that. And, of course, there's a lot of other ways. There's if people have an interest in sponsoring a program, we have a Read to Rover program, which is absolutely wonderful. I don't know how old your children are, but kids can come in and they can read to an animal or a cat. The animal usually doesn't judge them. They don't usually have too many comments. But it's just a nice way for the kids to relax and read and practice their skills without someone hovering over them.
Mm-hmm. And volunteer and do something outside of sort of that me-centric environment that sometimes we
right.
get caught up in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very
yeah,
cool.
Absolutely.
Kim, in talking about the idea of moving forward with the plan to sort of reunite or unite all the different facets of Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit. Is there a timeline with Phase 2? I don't get too much into it, but
sure.
is there a goal in mind? Yeah. And we also have a wonderful woman that we want to briefly mention in terms of some generosity that she's got going in this month of love, in the month of Dearborn,
yes.
or the month of February. So tell us about that as well.
So The timeline for our capital campaign is as soon as I raise $2.5 million. That's the short answer.
Well, get on that, will you? No,
yeah, sorry, I have to leave now. Hopefully, the goal is $3.5 million. I need to raise 2.5 of that.
Okay.
We've raised about $1 million. As soon as I do that, then we can break ground on Phase 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I forgot your other question.
Our generous donor.
Yes.
Yes.
So Marianne Wright is our board chair. She is absolutely fabulous, and as our entire board is. She has her name on our building
mm-hmm.
due to a very large gift. She's very generous with us. And this month, the month of February, she is sponsoring all adoption fees for all of the animals. So the animals their fees are either waived or reduced. That does not mean that the adoption process is reduced.
Yeah, the requirements.
Still
yes,
that.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not giving away animals.
Sure.
We're just helping people sometimes, especially, you know, families. They just might need a little extra, or a senior citizen who's on a fixed income.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
So this is the time, if you've been really anticipating bringing another family member into your life with Mrs. Wright's help, it can happen.
Yes.
Wow, very exciting. Yes. Another opportunity to our listeners' direct invitation would be to come on down to Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit tomorrow, 2-22-20 at 2 o'clock. A lot of twos in there.
2-0-2-2-2-2-0 at 2.
At 2.
All right,
between
it.
2
okay.
and 4, anyway.
Yep.
We're going to have a live broadcast. We're going to have our music taking place from here at the station, but we're going to have representatives from WHFR to help in any way that they
can help. We'll check in on the air, I'm sure.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And we will do some additional interviews and maybe talk to some volunteers as well as some people that are recipients of some of those love connections, as we as we like to call them. So thank you for allowing us the opportunity to shed a little extra light. Shed,
no pun intended.
A little extra light on the facilities themselves.
It's the great thing about having shih tzus.
Good point. Good point. To find the Friends location, where exactly are you, and how can people learn more? How do we reach your site?
So our website is metrodetroitanimals.org, and we are located at 16121 Reckinger Road, right behind the police station. We are open from noon till 5 every day except Sundays and Mondays.
Very good.
Yep. And we have all of our adoptable animals on our website. Mm-hmm. It's always good to stop in. And it's one thing reading a description, but come in, talk to our adoption counselors. They really know the animals. So they're matchmakers.
Makes sense. Yeah. Well, we are so grateful that you took the time to come down and see us today. We have celebrated Pet Week at WHFR all week, and this is certainly our highlight, and tomorrow will be even better. So good luck with the additional fundraising.
Thank you.
We encourage our listeners to be supportive in any way that you can, whatever that means to you. Love to have you down at our event tomorrow, or I'm sure anytime at your facility. So thanks to all the Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit, and thanks to you, Kim Cross, for being here.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
This is the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. Thanks so much. Let's get some treats to those dogs, and we'll be back in a minute. And we'll look at the sky and look at some hawks.
If you are looking for a fun place where you can learn and be creative, Henry Ford College has an awesome recording arts program. Set up recording equipment, manage and use digital recording software, prepare master recordings, and much more. Learn in a live studio environment where everything is hands-on. Upon completion, you will receive a Recording Arts Certificate of Achievement and prepare for career opportunities, such as sound engineer, recording technician, or audio mixologist. The professions are endless. For more information, contact Jeremy Palmer at jspalmer1@hfcc.edu or call 313-845-9624 today.
How would you like a sweet late afternoon treat with a steady rockin' beat that generates some heat to make your day complete? If so, be sure to check out the Go With The Flow Mike Holloway Show to hear what those rockin' blues are all about. Every Friday afternoon, 4 to 6 p.m., only on WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Yeah!
This is the WHFR Journal. We are celebrating Pet Week here on 89.3 FM and on the web at WHFR.FM. We've pretty much wrapping up Pet Week, but I have to have, as a member of this week's programming, the lady that I think of the most when I think anything related to pets. Deb Burnham has spent, I think, most of her life either sheltering, supporting, advising, caring for, helping, and mostly snuggling pets. And so, Deb, Pet Week wouldn't be complete without you. We're so glad to have you here on WHFR. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here.
Thank you. We want to talk just briefly about how this whole thing started for you, your love of pets. Many people, it starts very, very early, but others kind of discover it after they've maybe had their own children or whatever the case, their own version of taking care of, and then they just want that special little sweet little furry creature that will be unconditionally in love with them. What was your story?
I started very young. I've always been interested in animals. I wanted to be a veterinarian at the zoo, which didn't happen. But then I got involved with the Dearborn Animal Shelter, and I also went to Wayne County Community College District, and I became a licensed veterinary technician, and I did that for 10 years.
Right. The idea of being a vet tech is, I understand, incredibly challenging and wide-ranging in terms of the scope of things that you need to know, need to know how to do. So how is vet tech different than veterinarian specifically? Can you describe
the two? Veterinarian is a doctor.
Got it.
So they go to school for at least 8 years and have a doctorate. And a licensed vet tech, it's an associate degree. Or you can also get a bachelor's degree at Michigan State. That's the only bachelor's degree in the state for veterinary technology.
Interesting.
But that would be used more for management or education.
I see. So the vet tech, the associate's version is, I you mentioned the veterinarian kind of doctor, vet tech, I think nurse.
It is a nurse, yes.
Okay. So I know there's some changes potentially in making making that term widely used,
yes.
But it's being debated right now.
So yes.
We'll leave it at that. In terms of your experience, once you got your vet tech credentials, what did you do with it? How did you incorporate animals even more into your life? And why did you make the choices you made?
I worked at an animal hospital for 10 years, and I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. And then now I've changed direction, so to speak.
Okay.
And I now work at the Detroit Zoo, but not as a zoo employee. I work on the grounds crew, so I'm primarily outside, out picking up trash, but I interact with the public on a daily basis.
Oh, very good. You probably get a million questions.
I do, and I meet wonderful people from all over the world visiting our zoo.
That's fantastic. And you get to be around animals.
Yes.
And outside.
Yes.
Dream job right there.
Yes,
that's fantastic.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. Your experience has, I'm sure, led you to make a large difference in the lives of many animals, both professionally, but I'm thinking maybe also personally. What is it that has you fall in love with a pet so much that you do end up making it a part of the Burnham clan, the Burnham household?
I'm usually a sucker if they just roll over on their back and they look at me. The first day I volunteered at the Dearborn Animal Shelter, I took a cat home because she just rolled over on her back and started purring.
She knew what she was doing.
She did know. Yeah, she was wonderful.
Great. Is there a cap? Is there a limit to the number you'll allow yourself to have or collectively in your family that you'll allow?
Eight was the most.
Wow.
Yeah, that got a little crazy.
Okay. And you're down to?
Four.
Four now. Okay. All right. For someone that is interested in becoming a part of or having animals become a bigger part of their lives, what kind of advice would you have? What kind of suggestions?
First, decide what type of animal that you're interested in, what would work with your lifestyle, with your family. So you would need to do research. I mean, you can talk to family, friends. You could go to the pet stores because, you know, there's a large variety of animals there. But you really want to do your research.
Makes
and
sense.
Now that is easy to do with the Internet.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of rescue groups out there.
Mm-hmm. So there's really no reason, depending on, well, it really doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter what your level of experience or, you know, professional certification is, you can have a bigger connection to animals if you wanted.
Yes, or you can do volunteer work at an animal shelter. You can even be involved with the zoo. They have a lot of education programs. Mm-hmm. They have a summer camp. They have programs on the weekends. They've also have programs during the week for preschool children.
Oh, very cool. What is, in your mind, and this just your own words, is the words of Deb Burnham, expert in animals. That's your title for today. What is it about them? Just what is it that speaks so tenderly in the hearts of human beings that we just can't help it? We have to send that little platypus video, you know, that somebody sent us online, or the cute little thing with the, you know, the little whatever type of animal it is. They just have captured our hearts. Why do you think that's
there
the case?
Is a connection there. I don't with the pet videos, I think it's just people just love them, the companionship, and it's just pure love.
Yeah. And they need us too, don't
yes.
they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a connection.
Yeah, very good. Well, we love that connection, and we love the fact that you have really made your life's purpose, out of that connection. I know we've got a lot of listeners thinking, "Boy, I wish I could do that. I wish I could," but they can't to some extent. Yeah. Just take that first little baby step and go from there. We are enjoying the celebration of pets during Pet Week and always looking forward to learning more as well as sharing more. So, Deb, you were just the right person during the right week to share your story, and we absolutely look forward to having you back for more detail and maybe a little more related to the Detroit Zoo, because we know there's so many wonderful programs going on there as well. So thank you for your time, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Well, thank you. I had a great time being here.
Thank you. Our pleasure. Deb Burnham, wife of the ever-famous Bob Burnham at WHFR, and we'll talk about Bob a little later, but we are just so grateful that you're celebrating Pet Week with us, as Deb did coming down today. So stay with us. More to come right here on WHFR.
Join WHFR this Saturday at 2 p.m. as we broadcast live with the Friends of Metro Detroit Animals from the new Mary Ann Wright Center in celebration of WHFR's Pet Week. Join DJ Stephanie and Morgan as they host two-legged and four-legged friends to discuss an incredible program for the month of February, followed by a special broadcast of Lyrical Infusion at 4 p.m. It's Pet Week here at WHFR, so stay tuned for special programs all week long.
Often we wait for a significant event to happen before committing ourselves to a new project, a new lifestyle, or a new goal. However, as the old saying goes, don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today. No matter your age, Dearborn Public Schools offers a variety of possibilities to help you start learning today, so that an exciting career or a new life pathway can begin tomorrow. Get your high school diploma, GED, or learn to speak English. Take up a new hobby or try a fitness program. Call Dearborn Public Schools Adult and Community Education at 313-827-1900 or visit our website at adulted.dearbornschools.org.
This is the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. Thank you so much for being with us this Friday afternoon. A lot of things going on, and yes, Pet Week, and by pets, we normally consider pets to be animals, so we're going to make a little bit of leap of logic here and say that, and I don't know, do we have any listeners that have hawks as their household pets?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, certainly here on campus we have plenty of hawks that are near and dear to our hearts.
Yes.
So let's use that as the segue and move into our next segment.
Absolutely, and we love our hawks, absolutely. I think nobody loves our hawks more so, though, than Rochelle Taylor, our athletic director here on the campus of Henry Ford College. And Rochelle, we are so excited to have you here in studio to talk about some of the great successes that have gone on through athletics at Henry Ford, and also opportunities yet ahead, both to be a spectator as well as to be a sports person. So welcome back.
Thank you. I couldn't be more excited to be here either. I love talking about our Hawks and sharing information with your listeners.
Oh, woo-hoo. We're glad to have you here. So let's sort of start off with one of the biggest successes and probably the biggest anxiety as we move into tomorrow, this wrestling team, which, literally started as a club team.
Exactly.
Three or four years ago?
Well, we started as a club team probably about 6 years
ago. Okay.
And we had
I've been teaching here that long.
Yeah.
And the club had such success that we did, the college did choose to invest, and we moved them over to be a varsity sport. And this is just our third season as a varsity sport. And earlier this season, we were preseason ranked to finish 13th in the nation, which was just amazing for us. We were so excited about that. And I guess our Hawks are showing that, they really deserve that ranking. So several weeks ago, we were able to compete for the MCCAA, of course, our state conference, and we came out on top. We are state champions. We have the Coach of the Year, as well as Freshman of the Year, and Dante Rivera. So just really excited and happy with how well our wrestling team's been doing.
And first state championship for them as a varsity
Absolutely. Yeah, and we actually just, in honor of the 80th year of Henry Ford last year, we researched and we put up banners to really show the rich tradition that this school has had in all of our athletic sports. So first thing I told those wrestlers were, you get a banner on the wall. So they're down in history forever. Yes.
Kind of like having your jersey retired, right? Hung up in the rafters. That's exactly. Pretty cool. Yeah, very good. And these students are coming to Henry Ford College to learn, but also many of them to play sports. So did you attract, after the first couple of years with the wrestling club, once you became an official varsity sport, did you recruit? Did you attract students?
Yeah, well, our coach, Coach McKenzie, who does an outstanding job, was out there promoting, and our program is beginning to promote itself. We actually started this year with 40 wrestlers on our roster, and of course, that would have to be pared down. We can't carry a 40-man roster, but that's the magnitude of how this program is being seen at Henry Ford in this community. We did have wrestlers that transferred from some other institutions to wrestle here, and they're not just coming from this immediate area. We have a wrestler from Muskegon, from Lansing. They're coming because of the reputation that we've now built with that. And actually, I'd like to say that all of our coaches have done an outstanding job. This year, we started our semester back in the fall with 140 student athletes. To put in context, we had 63 student athletes when I started here back in 2011. So really, all of our coaches are out there building this great reputation that Henry Ford, always known for academics, but can come here and be successful in athletics as well. So we're really happy with the job that our staff is doing.
Well, and I want to ask you, just sort of, you know, the question, you know, comes also for people who are in, you know, the arts programs and the theater programs and all of the other things that go on a college campus. What is it uniquely about, you know, athletics and education that just sort of, you know, fits so well? What does being able to participate in a sport mm-hmm. that you love, you mm-hmm. know, add to the academic environment?
Well, without a doubt, first of all of our students are coming in. They all have to be full-time students, and they know in order to compete on the athletic fields and courts and mats, they have to be strong academically in order
to
compete.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And so they're committing to the academic piece. They're committing, and I think it's an opportunity for, at this level, there are some students out there that really want to have a chance to compete at after high school, mm-hmm. are overlooked by four-year schools mm-hmm. for a variety of reasons. And this is the opportunity for them to come, and because it's the sport they love, and they're so happy to have an opportunity to still play for several more years. And then they also know, because of the reputation of our program, that they are still being seen. And some students who were not recruited out of high school will end up getting a scholarship to a four-year school from Henry Ford.
So we've seen that. And mm-hmm. I can think of a couple in the basketball program.
And every one of our programs,
yeah,
right.
Okay, very good.
Really
thank
been,
you.
Yeah, yeah. It's something we hang our hat on, that this is your next step. You may have missed it out of high school. This is not a step down. This is just a step over. You're moving over. You're competing here for 2 years, and you still have that opportunity to earn your bachelor degree and continue in your sport.
Well, and that's the important point. It's maybe not, you know, a path to the pros or mm-hmm. anything like that, which, again, there are those, you know, very special and dedicated and unique athletes that may, you know, have that opportunity available to them. But it becomes a part of, you know, being part, you know, a part of their educational path.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, okay, let's see. We talked about wrestling, but before we move on to other sports, we're not done with wrestling yet, right?
We're not done. they will compete at regionals, and from there.
And where's that at?
So the regionals is in River Grove, Illinois, and then from there, depending exactly on how they come out in each bout, determines who gets the berth to go on to the national championship, wow. which is in Council Bluffs, Iowa, March 6th and 7th.
Regionals tomorrow.
Will yeah. be tomorrow, yeah. right? And they're all wrestling to earn that spot to Iowa for the national championship. And we are, you know, hopeful to come back with a couple of all. We're already kind of looking past the 22nd, although a coach can. I can never let a coach do that.
No,
but look,
no,
I'm
no.
doing that already. But we're hoping that we really can have a great showing tomorrow, and that we'll have some individuals go to nationals, because I do believe we can compete at a national level, and we can bring back a couple of All-Americans to Henry Ford. That's really the goal for our program this year.
And the winter and the spring sports are it seems like this is probably like your busiest time of year.
Every
right?
hawk, every hawk on campus that's involved in athletics is competing right now. So men's and basketball, men's and women's basketball are at the tail end of their seasons. Mm-hmm. Our wrestling, as you know, but golf is out at Riverview Golf Course. They're doing some range training to get ready for their season in a minute. Baseball and softball will be heading to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina for spring training on March 6th. So they're in the batting cages and you know, getting all their workouts in. Volleyball, we actually have a new volleyball staff. And they are on campus with recruits constantly, building up our team for next year, doing open gyms for our recruits so that we can select and have a really strong. I'm really excited about our new volleyball staff, and I think that we are going to be great contenders in the conference next year and going forward.
And second year for women's basketball, and is it second or third year for Coach Shepherd for the men's basketball?
Coach Shepherd is in his third season now.
Thank you.
And he had a great 2 years, and I told him we're not leading the conference, which we have been the last 2 years. We're competitive. I mean, we're competitive, and you know, the season isn't over. And I had to tell him last week, this is really what coaching is all about. Like, you know, we don't always lead the conference, but it's never over until that last second counts down on the clock. So we're still in it. We still hope to have a regional run. And a regional run always gives you an opportunity to get to a national tournament. That is still on our mind for men's basketball.
You mentioned baseball team. Is baseball team going down to Myrtle Beach, or is that softball?
Baseball and softball are going to go down to Myrtle Beach.
So in, 108 years, there are only, so many people who've been able to call Michigan and Trumbull their home diamond, their
Absolutely.
Home field, and I guess starting this year, the Henry Ford Hawks are going to be one of them.
We're talking about the
Detroit Tiger Stadium.
So we've moved the home of the Hawks for our baseball team to the Corner Ballpark, which is, of course, at that historic Michigan and Trumbull. And what's great about that is, first of all, it's an artificial turf, so we should not have to, spring sports in Michigan. You just have to, hope that the weather cooperates. We don't mind being a little cold, but you know, when the field is frozen or has snow or you know hasn't drained properly, but here by playing at a turf field, we hope we'll be able to keep our players on schedule. You know, when you want to play on the date, you know, you want to play on that date. So it's really, really exciting that they will have an opportunity to play at the Corner Ballpark. We signed a 3-year deal, so for the next 3 years we're there. And I understand the home plate is exactly at the location where the home plate was. So imagine all the legends that have stood at the spot where our students are going to stand now and try to hit that ball out of the park.
Wow. And slide into.
I wasn't a baseball player, but about maybe 50 yards up from there is the section of the old Tiger Stadium where I was an usher, where I wiped out the seats.
And I had my favorite hot dog stand on the other side of the top level. No, I'm kidding. That is what an honor.
It really is. And it is. It helps us with recruiting. And, you know, there's not too many, other colleges are going to be able to let their recruits know that, hey, when you come to Henry Ford, you're getting great coaching, great academics, but you're going to be playing at a spot that is just, just something that they've dreamt about for years. So we're really happy with that arrangement. And I think it's deserving of our team. Our guys work out so hard. They practice so hard, but they had to do so much to maintain the field. And now they can just focus on playing the game. And that's what we really want their focus to be.
Wow. We are so excited to hear all this news. Rochelle Taylor is joining us, and she is the athletic director here at Henry Ford College. You know, it's not your sports of yesteryear. This is high power. This is heavily competitive. That's incredible, as it should be, to train our students to be athletic to the best of their ability. But also, I always think about the spectators. I have the pleasure of parking, way, way back over on the other side of campus near the gym. When I'm walking out on Wednesday nights, and I love hearing the roar from outside from what's happening inside, even at our own, you know, gymnasium. That's a cool feeling. We've got the signage. We've got the, you know, a lot of renovations going on.
New bleachers are in there.
Yeah. So, tell us about it.
So we did a lot of upgrades to the gym, to that facility this year to make it, you know, more fan friendly and better for our student athletes as well. So we did, you know, we had bleachers in there that had been installed out. I'm just going to take it, go out on a limb and say 1964. But we actually have, you know, great comfortable seating for mm-hmm. our fans. They've been showing up. And we have a gym where you can hear that roar halfway across campus. It's just the way that our gym is. And it gives our players such a sense to know that their fans are there and are supporting them. As I said, we put up the banners to really talk about the tradition there. And it's nothing better than to have a home game and see our fans there cheering on our Hawks. It's a great, great feeling, and I know they really appreciate all the support they get.
I was going to say, and what does it take to get the fans there? Just, you know, speaking on a practical level as a commuter campus where you don't have a built-in, you know, student body that lives here and says, okay, what are we going to do tonight? We're going to go to the basketball game. You know, what does it take for the athletic department to make that outreach and get people to come?
Well, we appreciate opportunities like this to make sure our listeners know, and they can always go on henryfordhawks.com. That's our dedicated website, and all of our schedules are always updated there for, you know, for all of our teams. We do try to attract our own students. It's nothing better than having your student body there. So, you know, there's information that always goes out to our students mm-hmm. as well. But and things are always in our marketing and communications office does a great job of making sure that it's our athletic teams are promoted throughout the campus as well as the community. So those are some of the things that we do. We always hope that we can reach more and more fans, because I think if someone comes in the gym and they sit through either one of our games, women or men's basketball or volleyball, those are the sports that play in our gym, they will be very entertained. They will be in the game. Whether we win or lose, we always are putting up a good fight. And that's really what competition is. We can't guarantee success, but we sure try our best to get it.
Put on a good show. Mm-hmm, that's for mm-hmm. sure. That's
well,
for
and
sure.
That's it, you know, it seems to be, you know, yeah, part of that just there is a community here on campus above and beyond the, you know, 3 hours that you have classes mm-hmm. here mm-hmm. on a Tuesday or Wednesday mm-hmm. and yeah. trying to keep people engaged and involved in that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when we have a student athlete in one of our classes, you know, as faculty members, mm-hmm. we try to, you know, cocky's not the right word. They're proud. They're confident. And when they sometimes wear their jersey in class, mm-hmm. it's a great talking point. And
that's
it's an
great
opportunity to let them brag about the great things that are going on, but also an opportunity to recruit fans.
Right.
Again.
That's great.
And mm-hmm. so I'm sure they do. Other faculty members know that and do that. We have these forms that we sign, you know, for our
right.
student athletes. So we pretty much know who's playing mm-hmm. playing athletics, but an opportunity to have them kind of showcase what it is that they do. So
that's great. We
cool.
appreciate that. That's great.
And it obviously it takes the campus community support, but other outside supporters as well. I know there's something coming up this summer, which is for people who want to support
well,
the team.
Well, it does take a lot of supporters, and it takes a lot of funding as well to run to try mm-hmm. to continue to build, you know, an athletic program and to make enhancements that will help our student athletes succeed. And and as everywhere, you know, across the nation, you know, budgets are tight. So we have an opportunity for supporters to join us. We're going to sponsor the first Hawks Summer Cruise. So we've partnered with Norwegian Cruise Line and Dream Vacations, and we've put together a great cruise to the Bahamas July 16th through the 21st.
Before hurricane season.
Before hurricane season.
Yeah.
Out of Miami. There's special group rates for anyone, and then we've negotiated some additional perks and amenities that would be included for anyone that is participating with our group cruise. But the great thing is that every cabin that we book, the Norwegian Cruise Line will make a donation back to the athletic department. And so that will help us to continue to do some of the enhancements and to expand our programs beyond what our budget allows. So it's I know there are a lot of experienced cruisers out there. I've only been on a couple, and I meet people who just cruise constantly. They love it. So great opportunity for if you're thinking about your summer vacation plans, you love to cruise. Norwegian Cruise Line is one of the great cruise lines out there. Again, we've got some special pricing, some additional perks and amenities, but even more importantly, an opportunity to help support our athletic department. So so we are really encouraging and hoping and inviting everybody to just join us on the high seas.
Wow. That's a clever and creative way to do some fundraising. Boy, we used to have to sell cookie dough and stuff, you know. But not that I'm, you know, that's that's cool too.
Yeah,
but
this bought quite a bit of cookie dough in my day.
We've all done it, yeah. No, this is exciting. We have an opportunity through the Henry Ford Foundation to make a contribution to athletics. I have watched
and
people
WHFR
through and
WHFR. That matter,
that's right. That's right. And we'll talk about that more about that later. I have literally, personally, walked people through that process that have wanted to make a contribution in different areas on campus, and athletics is right there as well.
Right.
You're open to those types of contributions?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's a tax-deductible contribution that, again, goes directly to our athletic program. We typically spend some of those donations in the areas of scholarship. We have some student athletes, some students that would like to attend Henry Ford. They may not, you know, they may need some additional financial assistance to do that. So, yeah, a donation to Henry Ford Athletics goes directly to support our student athletes, and they are always appreciated.
Rochelle Taylor, athletic director for Henry Ford College. Thanks for spending time with us. I think those wrestlers are getting on the bus out to Illinois, so you might want to go wave them goodbye here. And we wish them luck tomorrow, number one.
Yes,
and also success for all of our Hawks.
Thank you. And I love being here. I appreciate the invitation.
Always. And again, our favorite pet, our favorite animal during this hour especially is the hawk. And we love our own hawkster who's around campus as well. And I think one of the things that warms my heart.
Is it Hockey the Hawk, or is it?
I think we say
Hawkster.
Yeah, we just say Hawkster. Yeah,
you can the Hawkster.
The Hawkster.
There you go. Yeah, I think the new logo with the hawk is everywhere, which is very cool. And one of the things that I love the most when I'm off campus is seeing people rocking our Henry Ford hawk.
Right, I do too.
You know, isn't that the coolest thing?
Right.
We don't need those letter M's and this and that. We like
the hawk. The hawk says it all.
Leave you with the last word, Rochelle. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And for more information and to get schedules of games and seasons and so on, henryfordhawks.com. Simple as that.
It's the WHFR Journal here at 89.3. Thanks for being with us. Kitty Love's up next. Speaking of pets, our, you know, Kitty. Kitty Love's going to take us for a little trip down Highway 61. How's that?
Looking to add a four-legged friend to your family? Well, here's the opportunity for you. Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit is sponsoring a program for the month of February where all adoption fees are either waived or offered at a reduced option. All thanks to a generous donation from Mary Ann Wright. So if you've been debating about the right time to get a pet, now is the time, but only for the month of February. Go to MetroDetroitAnimals.org to learn how to save one of their animals and welcome them into your home.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio featuring local and independent artists.